verses 2 through 5, God gave very detailed instructions. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. The 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." So God gave them work to do, and he gave detailed instructions how they were to do. And as they followed those instructions, as they were obedient to these instructions, they had victory. We know the story how that the walls did fall flat. And I'm not sure exactly how all that happened, but it was the power of God that made those walls just fall flat. In verses 17 through 19, God said, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing, make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the sanctuary of the Lord." Again, very, very clear, detailed instructions. Verse 18 says, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing." We would today say, by all means, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. What God has pronounced a curse on is forbidden. You're not to keep it. You're to destroy it. When we today, if we disobey the commandments of God, there's two things that happen here in this verse. The latter part of verse 18, it says that you make yourselves accursed. If you take, these are instructions from the Lord, if you take of the accursed things, then you make yourselves accursed. And also, we trouble the church of Jesus Christ. Here was Israel they were coming into the land of Israel. They had been delivered from Egypt. And he says, "You make yourselves accursed when you disobey this commandment, and when you take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." And so it is true today, I believe, that as we are followers of Jesus Christ, and we're given instructions in the Word of God how to live, how to conduct ourselves, how we're to live in holiness and purity. If we then go after the accursed thing, those things of the world, we make ourselves accursed and we trouble the church of Jesus Christ. These truths go on today yet. And we know the story of what happened when the man of the name of Achan saw some things there in the city that he coveted. Verse 1 of chapter 7 says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing." And notice it says the children of Israel. And it says, "For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. So, yes, it was one man that sinned, but it affected the whole camp of Israel. And that's really something that we need to think about, how our individual lives not only affect ourselves, but the church. If we're a part of the church of Jesus Christ, the camp of God, the people of God, how it affects the church and the testimony. You know, what we do is not generally hidden from all people. And certainly not hidden from God. And we can easily bring a reproach upon the church of Jesus Christ by a careless act, by any kind of disobedience to the Word of God. And I've been impressed already how people that make no profession of Christianity know what a Christian should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. I believe it's just something that God puts within the heart of every person, whether they profess Christianity or not. And here Achan brought trouble to the camp of Israel because of his action, because of the sin that he committed. Going on in this chapter 7, we have the story of how Joshua, verse 2 says, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about two or three thousand men go up, and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. I believe we have a picture here of overconfidence. They had just miraculously been brought across the Jordan River at the time of the year when the river overflowed all its banks. God brought them across that big river on dry ground. He had delivered the city of Jericho into their hands. They had been having one victory after another, and suddenly here was trouble. I believe it's a lesson for us today. You know, we can enjoy victory. If we're not careful, we become overconfident. It's so easy to feel like I can do this thing by myself in my own strength. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We do not see Joshua here taking counsel from God, asking God what to do. If Joshua was a man of God, I'm sure of that. But I'm also sure that he was human. And I think we see a human tendency here come out in the life of Joshua, that, you know, we've crossed the Jordan, we've had victory over this big city. And he was just very confident that they could take Ai, quite a bit smaller city than what Jericho was. He just sent some men up to Ai to spy out the country and see what they had to say about it. And it's not that our tendency today. We soon figure out, well, I need to do this, I need to do that. We forget to take counsel of God. Ask God how we should do, how we should move forward. I believe that as individuals and as a congregation of believers, that we must continually be looking to God for direction, for guidance, or we too will go down in defeat. Verses 6-9, Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Again, I believe Joshua's humanity showing through. I believe had he fallen upon his face before the Lord, before sending people to spies to check out Ai, I believe the Lord would have given him clear direction what to do. But here he fell on his face before the Lord after his army was smitten. And he was discouraged. He was greatly distressed. And according to verse 7, I believe he came very close to accusing God of taking them across the Jordan River just to destroy them. Well, that was not the case. That was not God's desire to destroy the children of Israel. Yes, I believe Joshua's humanity showed itself here. The question comes to me, if I suffer defeat in my Christian life, is it not because sin lieth at the door? I really believe that Joshua could have known that something is wrong here. Instead of asking God, why bring us across this Jordan River just to have us fall into the hands of our enemies? I believe a better response would have been, Lord, where did I take my own way? What did I do why have we fallen like this? So we also as individuals or as a congregation, if there's a defeat, if there's a problem and seems like we don't know what's going on, what's the problem, I believe we need to come back to the fact that there's sin somewhere that needs to be dealt with before we can have victory. Sin must be taken care of. Do you know it's so much easier to say, well, I made a mistake, than it is to say that I have sinned. But we need to recognize that sin is what leaves us powerless before the enemy. We cannot face the enemy and have victory when there's sin in our hearts. The prophet Isaiah told the children of Israel, said the Lord's arm is not shortened that he can't save you. Not that God was becoming weak, but he said your sin has separated you from God. And so If we're suffering defeat in our Christian life, let's be honest. Let's be open before God and find out where the problem is and take care of the sin question. Verses 10 through 15, we have God then speaking, the Lord speaking to Joshua. The Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household by which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel." Again, God giving very, very clear instructions here. Instructions that needed to be obeyed. Instructions that had to be followed to the letter, we might say. "Get thee up, Joshua." When we suffer spiritual defeat, we need to take care of the problem. The problem is sin. And God spoke here very clearly. He said, "Get thee up. Israel has sinned." There definitely is a time to pray. There's also a time to get up and take action. Joshua had time to pray when his army came back defeated. The important thing is to pray for God's direction every day, in every situation, that we're in communication with God. How shall we do? What shall we do? And in searching the scriptures to find the will of God and be obedient to that. Obedience is so important. I believe we have a real definition of sin here in verse 11. When we transgress the covenant of God, that's sin. And the word dissembled means to deceived. So there was disobedience to the commandment of God, and then there was this thing of trying to deceive in keeping the sin secret, hiding what was taken. I don't know how Achan managed to go out with those things that were forbidden and not be seen, but apparently he did it in secret somehow. But it doesn't matter how secret a sin might be that I've hidden in my heart, or that you have in your heart. Maybe no other human being knows about it, but God knows it. And it will affect your life, it will affect my life. And if it's not repented of, it will finally affect the congregation. Verse 12. God told Joshua that the reason they could not stand before their enemy. Because of sin. Sin strips us of the power and presence of God. God will not be reconciled with sin in any way, under any circumstance. God demands and deserves full obedience. God demands full obedience. He deserves that. He is the one that, He is our Creator. He is our Redeemer. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows exactly what is best for us. He knows what we need to do for victory. And He has given us instruction in His Word how to live so that we can have victory. It is our responsibility then to take heed to that instruction and live carefully by it. I believe as a congregation, we want to be fully committed to serving God. We have God's Word and His Holy Spirit to guide us. And so each one of us as members in the congregation have a responsibility for the purity of the church by keeping our own lives pure, by being sure that we're not hiding any sin in our hearts, in our lives. Problem that we as humans have is that sometimes we become lax in our obedience to the things that God wants from us. I'm thankful this morning for a church that sets up guidelines for our spiritual good, and let's not become lax in knowing what the church desires of us, asks of us, in relation to separation from the world, in relation to dress, whatever the thing might be. Let's be thankful for those guidelines and not think that, well, these things aren't all that important. A careless attitude toward obedience to God and His church is a sure way to be defeated. Verse 13, God told Joshua to get up, sanctify the people. There's a work that needs to be done. The people needed to get cleaned up. God was going to meet with them in a special way. They had a work that needed to be done. This sin that was committed needed to be found out. Who was responsible? And I just don't know. I don't understand why Achan did not voluntarily, immediately say, Joshua, here I am. I'm guilty. I did thus and so. But again, I guess that's human nature. How much do we need to be prodded and pushed along to finally come to the place that we're ready to say, I have sinned? But a forced confession is not what is really pleasing to God. There was judgment that needed to be poured out against the guilty person here in this account. Verse 15 says, it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he hath wrought folly in Israel. And I am so thankful today that God does not strike us down like he did Achan here in this chapter when we fail, when we sin. But I think we need to realize and understand how serious this sin question is. It not only affected Achan's life, but it brought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up in the morning, brought Israel by their tribes. The tribe of Judah was taken. And we know the story how it finally came down to Achan. Verse 19, Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So Achan did make a confession. He confessed what he did. But it was not a voluntary confession. To me, it was just saying, "Yes, I did this," without feeling godly sorrow in his heart for the deed that he had done. A forced confession is not what God wants. He wants us to understand that when we sin, that we voluntarily confess it, that we repent of it, that we turn away from it. And yes, we feel this godly sorrow for the sin that we had done, that we had committed. Like David, King David, when he had sinned, he acknowledged that, he said, against thee only, speaking back to God, have I sinned. He recognized that his sin was against God. It was a voluntary confession that it came from his heart. He did need the prophet Nathan to help him understand his sin, bring him to the point where he voluntarily opened his heart up and confessed. But I think I see a real difference between David's confession and Achan's confession here. I had to wonder what Achan thought he would be, of what value would this Babylonish garment been to him. Here he was a member of the camp of Israel. Now how would he ever wear a Babylonish garment and feel like he was part of the camp of Israel? And sometimes I wonder today, brothers and sisters, how some that profess to be Christians can wear a Babylonish garment and feel like they're part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I really think that a true Christian's type of dress will be according to the principles that we find in the Word of God, of modesty and simplicity. And I know we live, we're human beings, and we live in this body of flesh. But my desire this morning is that we continue to battle against the inroads of Satan. There's all kinds of things available, all kinds of material, all kinds of clothing for us men folks. Let's be careful that we're not walking around in a Babylonish garment, a garment that pertains to the world, and think that we're still doing what is pleasing in the eyes of God. Verses 22 through 26, we have the judgment of God poured out against Achan. And again, it did not only affect Achan. Verse 22, so Joshua sent messengers where they found it to be exactly as Achan had said. And verse 23, and they took them out of the midst of the tent, brought them unto Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. They brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. What a terrible price to pay for a few things that God had said were accursed. He said, Don't mess with them. Destroy them. You're not to have them. What an awful price to pay for disobedience to the word of God. And you know, God has not changed. God's word is the same. His will is the same. His love is the same, but his judgment is the same also. God is a God of love, and he wants everyone to be saved. He's not willing that any should repent. But there's a day coming, beloved, when the wrath of God will be poured out upon all sin. All those that are living in sin today and are not repentant, they go into eternity without the Lord. There will be a severe judgment upon all who go into eternity without the Lord. We could think also of the prophet that was told to go to Bethel and prophesy against the altar, thinking of the importance of obedience. God gave him explicit directions. He gave him instructions exactly what he was supposed to do. And he followed through with most all of the instructions that God gave him. He went to Bethel. He prophesied against the altar. And he was, the king tried to grab the prophet, but his arm was withered. He couldn't. God had told him, said, Now, you don't return home by the same route that you went. You return home by a different way. And that was where he disobeyed. Someone that called themselves a prophet of the Lord sent a messenger after him saying, Look, come back and eat with me. He said, and that was part of the commandment that God gave him too, not to eat or drink while he was there, and also return by a different route. So he went back and ate. When he left, we know the story that a lion met him in the way and killed him. An awful price for disobedience. But you know, we cannot expect anything more than the judgment of God if we're living in disobedience to the will of God. So let's continue on in full obedience to the will of God. Let's take time to study the Word of God and know what God expects of us. He's not left us in darkness. His word is a light to our path. And so